Good morning and welcome to The Business of Living, the show that brings you strategies and practical solutions for managing your life and career. I'm your host, Scott Ventrella, on this beautiful morning. My gosh, it's starting to feel, we're getting closer to spring. Closer to summer. Yesterday certainly felt like it with all of the humidity, but it sounds like we've got a good couple of days coming up. So here's the question for today. How do you handle setbacks in your life? Have you ever really thought about that? Do you know people who are somehow better equipped to deal with setbacks? I know that, you know, on a day-to-day basis, probably most of us, the biggest thing we have to deal with, for example, you know, driving into the studio this morning, I'm behind a truck. He's doing 20 miles an hour for, I don't know, a good couple of miles, 2-3 miles. It seemed like 15 miles. And I started to get a little bit frustrated, started to get a little bit anxious. And then I stopped to think about the show for this morning and our guest, which I'll introduce in just a minute. But I started to think, wait a minute now. You know, I've got to get past these little pinpricks in life. It pales compared to what other people have to deal with. And so joining us today is someone who is actually an inspiration to me, has dealt with more than the little traffic jam or the slow mover in front of her on her, on her commuter, shuttling her three boys around town. Robin Caruso, who's joining us, is a mother of three young boys from Ridgefield, Connecticut. She is a four-time paratriathlete, I hope I said that right, national champion, and duathlon national champion. Here's the story, though. 5 years ago, Robin was an able-bodied mom and weekend warrior, casual triathlete. I don't know, is there such a thing as a casual? We'll come back to that in a second, Robin. When she was struck by a delivery van while on her bike. Lucky to be alive, Robin sustained massive injuries, which left her with a paralyzed right arm. Happened to be her dominant arm. A year and a day from the accident that almost took her life, Robin won her first paratriathlon national title. Not wanting to give up on her kids or life, Robin continues to fight hard to overcome the pain and loss of function of her dominant arm. Her kids continue to be the highlight of her life. She has been to 2 world championships, one in Budapest, the other in Beijing, and hopes for a third this year in France. Every day is a gift. This is her quote here. Every day is a gift, and I choose to make the most of it. Robin, it is a great pleasure to have you here joining us on the show. So, like I said, every time, and I've known about you for a long time, we met just recently, but I've known about you, and for those listening, how do we know about Robin? Well, we'd see somebody running along the street, sometimes quite a distance from Ridgefield, her hometown, and with an arm in a sling, and I thought, wow, this woman, look at her, she's out there running with a broken arm. She is a really dedicated athlete. And then I found out a little bit about your story, but I never got the full story. So thank you for joining us, and hello, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
So I don't know if you realize it, how much of an inspiration you are to so many people, and I know you probably don't realize it because there's so many that see you out there, and as the details of your story gets out there, I think people are even all the more amazed. Tell us about what had happened 5 years ago that altered the course of your life.
I was out for a regular ride on my bike, and all of a sudden I was struck by a van, and that changed my life that minute. I mean, it's amazing how a second can change everything.
Now, were you training
I was out for a ride. I had just had a race. I had another one coming up, I think about a month and a half. So it wasn't a hard ride. It was just a nice, beautiful Saturday morning. I was out for a ride.
What kind of mileage were you looking to do that day?
40 miles, maybe.
Oh, just 40. Okay. Yeah. So you're out for a 40-mile ride. What was the weather like?
It was a beautiful day. It was 75, 80 degrees. It was a Saturday morning in July. And it was 8:30 in the morning. I was heading down on Route 33 in Wilton, getting ready to turn around and head home. And all of a sudden, a van turned in front of me. And I just remember seeing it. And that split second changed everything. I woke up in the road. All I could think about were my boys. I remember lying there and not being able to breathe because I had punctured lungs. I couldn't feel my arm. It was lying in front of me. And I remember telling the emergency crew, don't forget my arm, because I thought it was cut off. Because to see your arm laying at an angle and not being able to feel it was just weird. But I couldn't breathe, so that was the least of my problems.
Was there like intense panic, or I can't even imagine.
It was a little bit of panic. It was a little bit of, okay, I'm gonna live to see my boys, because that's all I could think about. You know, every mother, every parent's worst fear is not being able to see their children grow up. So I was afraid, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not giving up.
How many kids and how old?
At that time, I had 1-year-old twins. Actually, they were almost two. That'd be two in like 4 months. And a 4-year-old boy. They're all boys. And the thought of not seeing them again, just it drove me to survive and to fight, to not let this be my last moment.
So ambulance picks you up, brings you to?
Brings me to the hospital. I was in and out of consciousness. I really didn't know what was happening at that point. You know, they did scans and all sorts of CAT scans and MRIs, and my husband showed up. I have vague memories of that. You know, he didn't know what to expect. They told him, you know, she's okay, but you better get here. So he couldn't imagine, you know, if she's okay, why didn't I talk to her? And, you know, he's so strong. It's amazing. He was able to get the three boys in the car down to the hospital. He called his father to meet us so that he could watch the boys, and didn't really know what to expect.
That's difficult under normal circumstances, you know, rallying everybody, getting them, you know, settled in the car and, you know, on the journey, right?
Oh, my gosh. He's so strong, stronger than me. I don't know if I would have been able to handle that.
So we chatted last week. You also had mentioned that on the same day there had been another accident, but this was, I believe, you may help me with the details, but a young man on a motorcycle.
I just remember my doctor, one of the doctors, telling me that I was the lucky one today, that a young man on a motorcycle had been brought in and he was brain dead. So, I mean, that was very tragic to hear and to know that, you know, we were brought in close to the same time, I think. And the doctor told my husband, wow, she's really lucky to be alive.
How did you react to that, though? Here you are, you can't move your arm, you don't know exactly the full extent of your injuries, and the doctor's telling you that you're lucky? How did you accept that?
I accepted it because I was alive, and I remember thinking, you know, thank you, God, for not taking me that day, and, you know, that was a gift, and I was lucky, and I continue to be lucky every day.
And so up until this point, you had been, how would you rate in terms of your competitive level I assume you had played sports prior to that for a number of years. So what was the, you know, your level of activity and how much were you competing up until the accident?
Well, I had started triathlon when my twins were born. That was my goal. As soon as they were born, I said, wow, I'm going to start doing triathlons. I'm very competitive. Anybody who knows me knows that no matter what I do, I give it my all. I was a gymnast growing up, so I wasn't really an endurance athlete. That was something new to me. I had just placed second in a race that I had done about 2 weeks or a week prior to the accident. I just came in second.
And what kind of race? What was that race?
That was a triathlon in my age group. I came in second. And then I had done a half Ironman a couple months earlier, and I came in about at the top 20 in my age group, which I was happy about.
So some people listening may not know exactly. Walk us through, what are the sports that are involved with a triathlon, and what are the distances that you're talking about?
The distance is range, but it's a swim. You begin with the swim, and then you bike, and then you run. A half Ironman, for instance, is a 1.2-mile swim, a 56-mile bike ride, and a 13.1-mile run.
And you that's separated by a couple of days in between, right?
couple seconds, couple minutes, depending on how quickly you transition.
Can do the transition, exactly.
Some people a little quicker than others. So it's fun. I mean, it's a challenge.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like a loads of fun. Okay, so I just wanted to really set the stage, because I think that, look, under normal circumstances, what you went through is so difficult, and I can't even imagine, you know, how other people might have reacted or responded. When I think about athletes, though, and especially fierce competitors and people who are participating at that level, you know, Iron Man ain't for sissies. Now all of a sudden, you know, what do you, as you are in the early stages of recovery, are you thinking? Is that totally out of your mind now? Okay, that's done. You know, you don't have the use of your dominant arm, the right arm, and you just said the half marathon is a 1.2-mile swim. I know there are sprints that may be a half mile. Either way, How do you swim when you really have only one arm functioning? Was that totally out of your head at that point, or how quickly did you start to reconsider, think about competing?
It was a process, I think. I wasn't laying in the hospital bed thinking I'm going to get back out there, but I wasn't thinking I'm not either. It took a while to kind of to determine what happened to me and what was wrong with my arm. It took about a month and a half, and then they finally realized what it was. About 2 months after the accident, I got back in the pool to more for therapy because it helped a lot with the pain. And I started swimming. I said, well, let me swim a few laps with one arm here. You know, it was a drill that we used to do. So I got up to 10 laps my first try, and I thought, huh, not so hard. So,
oh, come on now. Now I swim, not a whole lot, but I swim, and I'm a decent swimmer. Next time I go in the water, by the way, I'm going to try it with just one arm. So first of all, again, a step back. What was your level of pain that you had to work through?
Oh, I have a lot of pain. Unfortunately, with a brachial plexus injury, which is what I have, there's a lot of pain involved because it's from the nerves. And there's not a whole lot they can do for it as, other than medication, which I don't really like being on, but I don't have much choice in it.
You picked the lesser of the two evils. And I would imagine you'd gone through a number of surgeries.
I've had three total surgeries on my arm to regain minimal use. I've had nerve transfers, nerve grafts, and muscle transfers, muscle grafts, where they take muscles from different parts of my body and put them in my shoulder, so to try to get some use of it. I have minimal use of my arm and my hand, but it's better than nothing. I can't swim with it, obviously, so I do swim with one arm. I can bike. I can use my hand a little bit, so I have electronic shifters on my bike.
So back to the water. How do you do that? And do you in any way secure the right arm, or does it just kind of come along with you?
It kind of just drags behind me. Mm-hmm. On occasion I'll strap it to me because I'm afraid it's slowing me down.
Mm-hmm.
But it really just kind of hangs there. You know, I haven't determined if strapping it is easier or not. So, but, you know, it's not easy. It's annoying sometimes because I really want to go faster. And there's only so much, you know, so fast I can go with one arm. But I get out there and I do it. And I do my 3,000s or I do my 3,500s or I do my short swims. Actually, tomorrow I start my open water season at Campo Beach in Westport, so that'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. What will that involve?
We just go out and swim. Probably tomorrow we'll only do a half a mile because I think the water's still a little chilly. I have my wetsuit.
I would think so, yeah.
But it's a lot of fun swimming out there. I have a group of people I've swam with for the last, you know, 5 years, and they always look out for me, make sure I don't get lost, especially on the really rough days
when it gets choppy. Yeah. So when you're in the water, is it more that you're just really working your left arm, or is there a lot of the legs involved?
I use a lot of my legs and my body. I mean, as you know, with swimming, it's not so much your arms that gets the power; it's your body. Mm. You know, the arms you need, obviously, but most of your power comes from your body and your rolling. And so I try to perfect that technique.
Okay, so you've got the I was thinking, well, let's see, probably the two most difficult of the three sports would be the swimming, for obvious reasons, and also the biking, though, because again, as a cyclist, I know that especially around here, Fairfield County, there are some extremely steep hills, and the only way I can get up them is I've got to actually stand up on the bike, and that requires, you know, putting a lot of weight on both of my arms. So how do you handle that?
Well, I have a lot of strength in my hips. I can't stand because I don't have the strength, or not the strength, but I don't have the balance. You know, I can't pull on the handlebars. So I do all my climbing sitting down. It's made me strong, a lot stronger than if I stood up. I can't say I avoid the hills because I see a hill and I want to climb it.
Oh, so that's what's going through your mind?
So I see a hill and I can do it.
I see a hill and I think, okay, there's got to be another way. There's got to be a downhill somewhere.
There really isn't. No. I've learned that when you try to avoid a hill, you find a bigger one.
You find a bigger one. Okay, that's good advice. It's just like life.
When you try to avoid one problem, usually you run into a bigger one.
Oh, I like that. That's great. You hear that, folks? Yeah. In a really simple form, it's almost like, you know, being at the grocery store and you go to the shorter line, trying to avoid the big line, and you know what? It takes longer than what you thought was going to be the shorter line. So
exactly.
Yeah, some kind of little philosophy here as well. So the running, what is your strongest of the three sports? Would it be the obvious running, or is that not so obvious?
No, my strongest is still the bike. The bike has always been my strongest. I was a fairly good swimmer, but obviously for, you know, swimming with one arm, you're always going to fall back. Running has never been my thing. I've never been a runner. I have to run because there's no way around it. I run with a sling. Recently, I've taken the sling off and run without it, and I have to kind of hold my arm. I run a lot better without the sling because it's hard to run with your arm strapped to you.
People don't realize it,
but your gait gets all fouled up, and you know, I have all sorts of problems with my left leg just because of the way my body is. Without the sling, it helps a little bit, but my limit without the sling is an hour because then my arm just gets too sore. To hold it, I have a difficult time holding it, I can't swing it because I don't have shoulder function.
How much time did you before the accident, after the accident, and now that you're 5 years past that, you're more conditioned, and I think probably have adjusted to the various sports that are part of the triathlon. Was there a significant change in time, or how significant was that change in time?
That I trained?
No, I'm sorry. Now that you're competitive, if you compared a half Ironman or maybe a sprint, was there a significant change, a difference in time?
For the half Ironman, my time prior to my accident at this one race was 5:30. And that's all I have to compare it to because I had only done one.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years after my accident, I went out and did another half Ironman, and my time was 6:10. So there was a
40-minute difference.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, and maybe in your mind that was significant. In my mind, that doesn't. That is almost. It's unbelievable when you think about again what's involved and the adjustments that you've had to make. So, what's coming up?
I have the Para Triathlon National Championships coming up in Austin, Texas, on May 28th, Memorial Day. So I'm very excited for that. I'm hoping to defend my title for a fifth year in a row.
And so you have won for the last 4 years?
Yes.
You've won the event. How much training is involved in that, and how do you, with three boys now, 9, and then the twins are 6, helping to run the household, how do you manage all of that?
I get up really early. Now that it's light at 5 o'clock, I can be on my bike at 5:15, which is fantastic.
You're serious. You're up at 5 o'clock or so?
I am. I do my workouts. I try to get my workouts finished before they get up. They get up around 7 or 7:30.
I'm in my REM sleep by that time, at that time, Robin. Yeah.
So I get up and I do my workouts and I come home and they tell me to get away from them. I stink. So I'll get them ready for school. And sometimes I'll do a workout after they go to school. They'll get on the bus, and then I'll finish, do a run or a ride. If I have a long ride, I'll just do it after they go to school. If I have an hour swim, an hour run, I can work it in. Anything longer than that, I'll have to do after they go to school.
How many days a week are you training?
On average, 6.
Six days a week, but you're doing different combinations.
I do. Usually do 2 workouts a day, either a combination of swim and run, swim and bike, bike and run.
We're speaking with Robin Caruso, a mother of 3 young boys from Ridgefield, Connecticut, 4-time para triathlete, national champion, and duathlon national champion. 5 years ago, Robin was an able-bodied mom and a weekend warrior, casual triathlete, and she was struck by a delivery van while on her bike. We're going to continue with her inspiring story right after this break. You're listening to the Business of Living Show here at 1490 WGCH.
This is Carl White from Greenwich Library. Recent research indicates that we can ward off the ravages of Alzheimer's disease by being proactive in prevention. On Tuesday, May 22nd, in the meeting room at 5:30 p.m., the Alzheimer's Consortium of Southwestern Connecticut will present Understanding Memory, What's Usual and What's Not. The program will cover memory and how it works, memory changes we can expect, activities for brain health, and helpful resources. Experts believe we can take action now to prevent or minimize the effects of Alzheimer's as we get older. Also, don't forget to attend the hilarious program Bits and Pieces 2 by the Greenwich Experimental Theater on Saturday, May 19th at 2 p.m. in the meeting room. Both programs are free of charge and open to the public. To learn more about these and other programs, visit our website at www.greenwichlibrary.org. This is Carl White on 1490 WGCH.
Welcome back. This is Scott Ventrella, and you're listening to The Business of Living, the show that brings you strategies and practical solutions for managing your life and career. And we're speaking today with Robin Caruso, a mother of three young boys, who a few years back, 5 years ago, was struck by a delivery van while on her bike in a training for an event. We're talking about really how to overcome or how to bounce back from setbacks. We all experience them, but few have experienced a setback like Robin Caruso. So, Robin, so with three young boys now, so you're—I don't know if at the time if you were working, three and raising three young boys is probably doing a double shift, right? And then also continuing with your training, you know, how did that all work out for you? Did it take some time to sort through it?
It did. Following my accident, the first year after my accident is really a blur because of some of the meds I was on and just the pain and just the everything I went through. I did have help, thank God. I had my husband, a great family. I had a sitter at the time. So they really helped me get through it. I was limited with what I could do with my boys, obviously, and not just because of the loss of function, but just because of the psychological impact of what had happened to me. I did learn how to change their diapers with one arm, and it was fantastic. I had spoken to a friend of mine who has the same injury, and he was a great inspiration to me. In fact, he's the one who made my sling. And I was talking one day about not being able to do something, and he said, well, why not? Why can't you do it? And I stopped. I'm like, oh, you're right. Why not? Why can't I do it? So I learned how to do more than I thought I could do. My twins adapted and helped me change their diapers. It was kind of incredible.
I like that. You're empowering your twins to, hey, you can handle this, right?
Well, they would lay down on the floor and they would be still, which they're never still. And they would roll on the side and I put the diaper down, they would roll back and they would just perfectly, they would help me because they wanted me to do that for them, I'd imagine. So they helped me help them. And from that, I just continued on, and I thought, well, I can fold laundry. It's just going to take me four times as long, but you know. So that little comment from my friend really pushed me forward. Rather than me wallowing in my pity and talking about all the things I couldn't do, I said, let me talk about the things I can do. And you know, swimming and running and biking were things I could do, and those were things that made me feel normal.
I know, I love that. I really do, because you know, I spend a lot of time with organizations, and especially in organizations that have negative culture, and you know, talking about this concept of being positive and not focusing on what you can't do, but focusing on what you can do, even with some limited resources. Do you feel that for most of life's activities, you can function fairly well?
At this point, yes, I feel I can. I mean, there's still a lot of things that I have a hard time doing. My kids love to play ball. So I do the best I can with them. It's a little difficult. You know, teaching them to ride a bike was hard because I couldn't really hold on and run. So there were things I couldn't do with them, but I try. I mean, I will play catch with them, and I usually miss the ball. And I've gotten pretty good catching a ball with one hand.
Yeah, right.
So I do everything I can, and I know they appreciate it.
You, like I said, I'm sure they're inspired by it. It makes me think of the young woman. I think she's a teenager, maybe 14, 15 years old, and I'm sorry I don't remember her name, but she was a competitive surfer and had her arm bitten off by a shark, and she's out there being competitive. I got back up on that surfboard. Can't even imagine. I can't. If you gave me four arms, I don't think I could get out on a surfboard and stand up. And never mind, let alone with one arm. So talk about a little bit your philosophy on life. So you've got this great, it sounds like you've got an incredible family, you know, support system. Your husband's been very supportive, your children, and I'm sure the extended family has been very supportive. But all, you know, how about your philosophy of life? You had mentioned earlier, and that wasn't lost on me, that faith brought you through. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, instead of focusing on what I lost, I focus on what I gained. You know, people can look at the accident in two ways. One is, oh, God, why did this happen to me? How did you let this happen? I think, oh, God, thank you for letting me live. Because there were two ways that could have gone that day. So I looked at it as a gift, and I like to take advantage of every moment and realize that I have a second chance, and there's a reason I have a second chance, and there's a reason for me to be here.
Do you ever think about what that reason might be, or is this it?
Well, this could be part of it, dealing with adversity and showing people that, you know, they need to keep going. I'm flattered and honored that people are inspired by my story, and I say, well, I will run with it and help as many people as I can. I like that my boys look at me and are proud of me. I think when their lives get difficult, which I'm sure they will at times because that just happens with children.
That's life. Children and adults.
I hope they can look at my experiences and say, wow, well, if mom can do that, I can do that. You know, it's a gift to them.
I would imagine there are times when, given, as you had mentioned, the pain. And I know many people, especially athletes, don't like to take anything that may change the way you think or the way you feel. Obviously, they're removing that pain. But the bottom line is, you have to, you have to still deal with a certain amount of pain every day. And you know, there are times when I'm just tired and I'm laying there in bed thinking, I really should get out and, you know, do a run this morning or get out on my bike or whatever. And sometimes, well, not often, but sometimes I let the bed wins. I'm sure you have days like that. What advice or tips can you give us for when you're feeling, you know, an intense pain and maybe somewhat demotivated? How do you get yourself up and out?
Well, I know that the only thing that's going to help me with the pain is by getting up and out. You get the natural endorphins when you work out, and that really cuts the pain. I mean, that was all along I saw that. I saw that the first day when I got in the pool and started to swim with one arm. I said, wow, this is helping me manage the pain. It doesn't last all day, but if I laid in bed and didn't get up, I'd be in pain all day.
And then you'd probably be upset with yourself for, you know, missing out on an opportunity for a workout.
Oh, always. And then I'm grumpy on top of it.
Stay away from mom. She didn't exercise today.
Exactly. It really does help with pain management, though. I mean, there's a lot to be said for that.
So has this strengthened your faith in any way, or have you always been a woman of strong faith? Because there's an inner strength that I could tell that you've had and have. How has that just continued constant?
I think so. I mean, I was brought up, as you said. I think that I had a strong faith, and I am a lot stronger than I thought I was and gave credit for. You always say, you know, God gives you what you can handle. And you hear that comment a lot, and it's true. And even if you don't think you can handle it, you do.
So we still have a few more minutes. How about some tips? Because, you know, I'm out on the road either running, mostly running, three or four times a week, and it's just amazing how so many motorists don't seem to give you any room. Even if there's no oncoming cars, there's no reason for them not to give you a little bit of that room. It's especially unsettling when I'm on my bike. What kinds of tips can you give to the motorists that would be helpful?
Well, I can say to motorists, when you see a bike, remember that's somebody's mother, somebody's father, somebody's everything. So rather than get annoyed with them because maybe they're holding you up or slowing them down, realize that that's somebody's everything. You're supposed to give them 3 feet of space if you're passing them. If you can't, then you have to wait, unfortunately, but that's just the way it is. I want every car, every driver to get up and expect to see bikes on the road. Part of the problem is motorists don't expect to see bikes, and they're often surprised when they see one. So I'd like everybody to have the mindset that there's bikes on the road and there's always going to be.
Yeah, you know, and folks, and you know, Robin, you and I are motorists. The idea is, you know, be more patient, right? be more patient. You don't have to, you know, zip by leaving, you know, literally inches, which has happened to, you know, me on a number of occasions. Now, it's a two-way street, no pun intended. What about for those athletes that are on the road that are either, you know, running or biking? What advice to some of those folks?
Well, first and foremost is obey the rules of the road, because you can't expect motorists to be considerate to you if you're not considerate to them. So that's my first advice. And you just always have to be on the lookout and expect that people don't see you.
Right, right. So you know, make sure you're on the correct side of the road. Right. Make sure you're wearing you can be seen, right? Because sometimes I think people hide.
Exactly.
Well, listen, Robin, it has been such a pleasure. Like I said, you've been an inspiration to me. We've been speaking with Robin Caruso, mother of three young boys from Ridgefield, Connecticut, a four-time para triathlete, national champion, duathlon national champion. You'll be competing Memorial Day weekend. We wish you the best with your streak. Five in a row, right?
Yes.
Five in a row. Yeah, I think you'll do it. I'm sure you're going to do it. Hey, thank you for joining me, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to The Business of Living. Remember, you only have one life. Why not live it on purpose? This is Scott Van Trella. So long.
This is your community radio station.